let's sing about it now. Yes, I was made in his likeness, created in his image. I was born to serve.
Serve the Lord. Well, a lot of people don't know why they're here. I'm glad we know why we're here. We was placed here to be overcomers in this Satan's Eden. Aren't you glad you've been placed? Aren't you glad you know where you belong tonight? Aren't you glad you're a Christian? Somebody say praise the Lord. Now give the Lord a big hand clap of praise. You love him tonight with all your heart. Praise the Lord. Let's sing a little bit of that second verse. My hands were made to help my neighbor. You don't know it? Put it up on that screen over there. You don't know how. My hands were made to help my neighbor. My eyes, they were made. Say praise the Lord. Now turn around, shake somebody's hand and tell them this. We were born to serve the Lord. We were born for that very purpose tonight. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, I was made in His likeness. God bless you, my friend. I love you. God bless you, buddy. I love you. I was born to serve the Lord. And I know I can't deny Him. I'm going to always walk beside Him. I was born to serve the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer requests tonight. First of all, let me make this announcement, if you would. Please remove any items that you have out in the lobby that's on the coat rack and the shelves. Any items left after this weekend will be discarded. So it seems like that's a great gathering place for things. And they like to stay there. They feel comfortable there, so if you've got something, please remove it. They will be discarded after this weekend. Probably got just different things that you forgot or something, but anyway, please remove those by this weekend if you would. I want to pray for Sister Sharon Ward. She's having a lot of pain in her lower back and is unable to be in the service tonight. I want to remember that prayer request. The church in Hagerstown, Indiana, they're facing some very important decisions this week concerning some very serious issues. They would like to have the leadership and just seeking the will of the Lord and decisions that's going to be made. So let's remember that prayer request tonight for that assembly, that the Lord would just be mindful of them. I want to pray for Brother Sam Clark, very sick, unable to be in the service tonight. So let's remember him. I want to pray for Sister Tammy Sutherland, urgent unspoken prayer request. So the Lord knows all about that need. We'll just commit it to the Lord. Brother Jackie Benton still having severe pain in his hips and legs. So we certainly want to pray for our brother. Just really love and appreciate Brother Jackie Benton, what he means to this assembly. Brother Baker says, if we would, to please remember Sister Baker not feeling well. So let's remember her tonight as we pray. Also, Brother Jack Yance sends in a prayer request for Sister Ruth Ann Yance. We'll be having surgery at 10 a.m. tomorrow. So we certainly want to pray for Sister Ruth Ann that the Lord would just be mindful of her situation. We're asking for everyone to pray for some children in our family who has drug-addicted parents. We're worried about these babies' safety. My heart is broke because they don't have the love and the godly atmosphere that they need. We want God's will in this matter as we would like to take these babies in our home. Thank you, and may God bless each and every one of you that was sent over to the library. The Lord knows all about that need. That family would just commit them unto the Lord. God's able to work things out. Do you believe that with all your heart tonight? We certainly do. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about, we're serving a prayer-answering God, aren't we? Let's sing just before we pray tonight. Let's sing that little chorus, thanks. Let's give Him some thanks tonight for what he has done, what He is doing, and what He's going to do for us. We're winners, folks. We're absolute winners tonight. Somebody say, I believe you with all my heart. Now give the Lord one more hand clap of praise as you stand tonight. We want to say thanks.
Thanks.
I give you thanks.
Thanks.
I give you thanks.
Oh,
you. Oh, you. Brother Buckles, would you come tonight? Take us to the Lord in prayer. Let's invite His presence into this service tonight. We'll just commit these things unto the Lord. Certainly good to have our friends with us from Canada here again with us in this service tonight. We appreciate Him, don't we? Give Brother Buckles a nice hand as he comes. Praise the Lord. Appreciate you, buddy. God bless you.
You know, I'll never be able to eat another pickle without remembering the service on Sunday. What a beautiful analogy. And, you know, there's one of the pickle makers, they have a saying, it's in the crunch. And, you know, when Brother Donner, he's talking about that change, how that pickle became a pickle from the inside out. And, you know, it's that crunch that's going to demonstrate what the Lord has done to our lives. So it was, you know, simple, but, you know, God in simplicity. And it impressed me. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just come to you this evening, giving you thanks, Lord, as we've sung the song, Lord, for the many things that you've done for us. And Lord, just how you've led us, guided us, and revealed your word to us and this hour and this day, Lord. And Lord, we're just so thankful. And Lord, I hold these prayer requests in my hand, Lord. And Lord, there's many that are not well, sick, Lord, unable to come to the service this evening. And Lord, we know in their hearts, Lord, they would desire to be here. Lord, we ask that you would just move upon wherever they are and touch them and raise them up, Lord. And the ones in pain, Lord, just deal with that pain. Take it from them. And Lord, our sister that's going for the operation tomorrow, Lord, we just pray that you would guide the surgeon's hands. And Lord, let the operation be a success. Let them be able to do what they can. But Lord, we're looking to you for your healing virtue to, Lord, raise her up, Lord. Lord, the ones with the family and father with substance abuse, Lord. But Lord, you are a miracle working God, and you can deal with all situations, Lord. You've delivered people before from this, Lord. You've delivered Legion from many, many demons, Lord. So this is just another one that you can cast out, Father. Lord, we just love you. We just ask that you would come this evening now and anoint the speaker and anoint our ears, Father, that we might be able to hear and receive from you. And Lord, just remember the unspoken request, Father, that you would meet all those needs as well. We just commit it all into you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Buckles. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here tonight in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those the folks that would be streaming the service tonight, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Now, we're having some problems with the screen. It's not actually working at this time, so we're going to do the best we can. I believe we'll be all right. You just sing with all your heart. And if you're like somebody like Greg Robbins, just make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, it's awful good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. We had a time here over the weekend, didn't we? Amen. We certainly did. And it's camp meeting again on Wednesday night. Brother Timothy Pruitt is going to be here in the service with us tonight. And I know you're looking forward to what the Lord would have for us. Just so glad to be in the presence of the Lord. This is the most sane atmosphere I've been in all day. And you too. It's the most sane atmosphere you've been in all day. Let's take advantage of it. Let's enjoy it. Do you love the Lord with all your heart? Are you glad you're saved? Are you glad you're forgiven? Are you glad you're redeemed? Are you glad you're predestinated? Give Him one more hand clap of praise tonight. Something keeps holding me. Every day I see. Helping me.
You be seated tonight. Let me make one more announcement. They asked me to do this because our screen is down. Adriana Pruitt, I believe that's Brother Timothy's daughter. I believe she's here and has a song for us tonight. If she'll come on to the platform, be getting ready to sing. All the sisters are invited to a household shower for Sister Ruth Cox and Andrew Baxter. That'll be Sunday, September the 27th at 5:30 in the Fellowship Hall. That's this coming Sunday, so remember that. Give our sister a nice hand as she sings for us tonight.
I've seen a vision harsh and sweet of one who gave all he had for me. I felt the passion of his death and the forgiveness of his final breath. Now I can never be the same, for my life has been forever change. I want to live in love and give the way he gave. Now I'm giving my life away. Oh, I'm laying it down on the altar.
That's wonderful that we can do that. You realize how blessed you are to even want to do that? Selfishness is the supremacy of Satan's government and his kingdom and his rulership and his leadership. It's all about him. I was reading this afternoon where the selfie pictures are more dangerous than shark attacks. Right. So far this year in 2015, more people have got killed by taking selfies, not paying attention to traffic, falling off mountains, bridges, this and that and the other, than shark attacks. Some of y'all guilty, are you? Don't you understand, friend, the age that we're in? It's all about us. It's all about us. It's me and me and psychoanalysis and all that they do that they've noticed on men. Just a study which has been finished of men who are constantly taking selfies and pictures of themselves. And they have evaluated that many of these men have mental problems. It has something to do with the narcissist and all that sort of thing. And, you know, they're so proud and so arrogant and this and that and the other. And I heard yesterday word that they had to have some special kind of people around the congressmen and the senators so that they wouldn't touch the Holy Father. I thought, what a difference between His Holiness and our Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. They have to be taught how to not touch His Holiness. But we are taught how to touch our Jesus. That's the difference between Jesus and Pope Francis. Jesus wants His people to touch them. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian tonight? All the world is drunken. Who can make war with the beast? Who can make do all this, that, and other? But, you know, it's no wonder Jesus was so misunderstood. The rabbis and the great teachers, they would have never, never let a Gentile touch them. The woman with the issue of blood, they would have never allowed that woman to touch them. If she would have touched them, they would have went home and changed their clothes. They would have washed their hands from their elbows down. They would have washed their feet from their knees down and been unclean until the even, if that woman would have even touched them. That's the difference between them and Jesus. But the woman touched Jesus, and she was made whole. And Jesus said, I perceive that strength has gone from me. That's what eternal life is about, isn't it? Living for others. And we receive that life, and then we give our lives away. Well, God bless you. I'm not preaching tonight, Brother Timothy's preaching for us. Amen. So glad to be back in church tonight. Amen. I so love Wednesday night service. I'm just so glad that we have this opportunity that we can come together again. And certainly appreciate each of you being here in the house of the Lord. We want to open our hearts now to the word of the Lord to see what the Lord's placed on Brother Timothy's heart. He texted me and yesterday, I guess it was, and said he was starting to feel real nervous. I said, well, don't feel nervous. We'll just try to make his feel as comfortable as possible. So before he comes out, I want to tell you, before he comes, wear him out. Pull on the gift. Leave him as weak as a dish rag. Hallelujah. That's the greatest compliment you can give to a preacher, is to pull on the gift of God. That's right. Nice things you can say about him, all that's well and good. But what says more than anything else is whenever they walk off this platform and get back there and tell me, man, that was easy to preach to. My chest gets as big as this pulpit right here. Because I feel like I've been able to teach you something. If they say you all didn't pull and they say you all went to sleep on them, it makes me ashamed of you. But when they say, man, you got an easy church to preach to. Boy, this is a good place to preach. So I'm saying, praise the Lord. That's what we want it to be. Amen. So let's just open our hearts tonight, see what the Lord will do. You know, we're living in such a wonderful hour. So many things are happening all around us. But personally, I just don't look at it, you know, out here and want to see what all's been done. I look at that. But I like to look closer at home. I like to look closer at home and see what He's saying. See what He's got on His heart. See what He's doing. That tells me a lot about where we are. Let's just open our hearts now to the Lord and just see. We want to pull on the gift of God. Let's just sing together, touching Jesus. Brother Timothy comes. Want him to just obey the Lord and just follow the leading of the Lord. You got a need. I know you're doing your heart tonight. Let me know that Jesus is mindful of us. Touching Jesus is all that really matters. Then your life will never be the same. Praise God. Oh, there's only one way you can touch Him. You must believe when you call. Let's sing it again. Oh, touching Jesus is all that really matters.
Good to be in the house of the Lord with you. Amen. Ain't God good? Amen. To give us so many blessings, undeserving. But thank God He cares for us tonight. Amen. We bring you greetings from our home church, from my father, Brother Tim. Amen. Said to be sure and pass on the greetings to you from him, that he loves you. We're all in this together. Amen. In one family of God. Amen. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we come to you this evening, Lord. Just so thankful, Father, that we can come to a God who knows and understands our needs and our heart's cry. Lord, no doubt there's people here today, saints, children of your sons and daughters of God, that has needs in their lives, Lord. Lord, if we'd ask for hands to be raised, no doubt they'd be raised all over this building, representing many different needs and many different situations. And I'm so thankful we serve a God who can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Lord, it can be touched, Lord, and know what it's like to go through pressures of life and situations, Lord. And we just come to you tonight, Lord, believing that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We ask, God, that you have your preeminence in this service, Lord, that, Lord, I could study, I could do things, Lord, I could put together some things. But, Lord, if you don't come and anoint it, Father, it's all in vain. But anoint not only me, but anoint the receiver tonight, Lord, that we can be received from you, Lord. I'm needy, Lord. I have need of you, O God. And I'm asking, Lord, that you come on the scene tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. We can turn our Bibles to Exodus 2. Thank you. Amen. How many believe he's an on-time God? Amen. Exodus 2 and verse 23. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he is afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, a large, and unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress him. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Amen. We'll let you be seated this evening. I'd like to speak to you tonight on a message for an Exodus. Amen. We see here a message that was sent. We see a people that was in bondage, and this bondage was now some 400 years as they was in captivity, had been brought into Egypt, we know the story of through Joseph and all those things. Won't get into all of that, but they come to this moment, and no doubt there was time, there's coming to a time, and many times, as these Israelis, no doubt the Jews, the children of God, no doubt thought that maybe God had forgot about them and forgot about their situations and forgot about their problems. And forgot about, it was kind of a delay that was happening. Amen. Some 400 years of prophecy had went forth, and here they are still in bondage. But, amen, God's word is always, it always comes to pass. It always fulfills what it's to do. Amen. It never fails. Amen. The prophet of God said that his word, he can do anything but fail. But we see here this word came not to just, maybe alleviate some of the pain or alleviate some of the problems or to, help them in their condition. But it came to not just tell them who they were, but it came to bring them out of a land. It was a message for an Exodus, amen. And we know the life of Moses and where he came and how he was told that he was going to be a deliverer his whole life. And here he comes to this moment, and he's living in the household of Pharaoh, and he tries on his own to try to do something. And we know it produced one dead Egyptian, and he flees out into the desert, but he's out there. It just seems like time is just moving on. Nothing's happening. And nothing's going on, and there's nothing moving. God's just forgot all about us. But behind the scenes, God is working everything out according to His will. And it's the same for us tonight. There's no doubt none of us thought we'd be here in 2015. And it seems like maybe God has forgotten you, but He has heard your cry. He has heard your heart's cry, and He knows your situation. And I love the scripture. He said, I have also seen the oppression. I know the sorrow. I know the heartache. I know the trouble, but I have sent a message for your deliverance. Amen. And we also know the message that we have received in this hour is not a message that is to propagate another generation or another church age or another messenger to come. Amen. But this message was sent for an Exodus. This message was sent for a leaving here. This message was not sent to tell you how to dwell and how to, to be in Laodicea and how to, just kind of do your own thing or whatever. But this message was sent for a purpose. This message came to tell you who you are and that you're not for here. You're not of this world, but you're from a different place, from a different dimension. Amen. This message is a message of an Exodus. And so we see here how God had brought them. And He told the children of Israel, He said, I'm going to take you out of a land and I'm going to take you into a land. Now, if you notice the way God operates, He don't necessarily worry about all the little details in between. He said, I'm going to take you out and I'm going to take you in. Amen. Many times we as human beings, we worry about things and situations in our lives and, the sickness that we go through, the financial struggle. But God, He is who started the work, is able to finish the word. And so God didn't tell them about the Red Sea. He didn't tell them about the desert. He didn't tell them about no food, no water. He just said, I'm going to take you out and I'm going to take you in. He was confident in His word. Amen. He knew that He was able to perform that which He had said He could do. And He hadn't changed tonight, saints. Amen. He knows that He who started this work, He who started it through the prophet, through the message of a prophet, is able to not only go through that, but here we are in 2015. 16, and God is still able to perform exactly what He promised He would do. And He will perform what He promised He would do. Amen. And He has not forgot about us. I might forget about you, pastor, or whoever, deacon, may think somebody, but God never forgets. He knows exactly your situation. He knows exactly your trouble. He knows exactly your sickness that you even come to the house of God with tonight. He knows exactly your heartaches. Amen. But Moses came into the presence of God. Now, we see a man different than when he tried to do his own thing. But once he came into the presence of God, and he met that bush on the backside of the desert. Amen. Brother Branham talks about it. He said there was a pillar of fire there. All of his education, all of his theology left him. He wasn't dependent on being the son of Pharaoh no more. He wasn't dependent on what Pharaoh had taught him no more. He had now met the God that he had heard about. The God that his mama had taught him. The God that his daddy had taught him. And now he had come face to face with this God. Hallelujah. Amen. Young people, it's got to be more than what your mom and daddy taught you. It's got to be more than what you've learned on a pew somewhere. But you've got to come face to face with Him Himself to where He can change your life forever. And this is what had happened. Now, Moses tried on his own. He killed one Egyptian. But now he meets a pillar of fire, and here he comes. And he's going down to Egypt, and he's got a donkey, he's got a wife, he's got a child, and he's got a rod. Where are you going, Moses? I'm going down to take over. It didn't matter how many trained men Egypt had. All these things didn't mean a thing to Moses no more, because he had been in the presence of God. And he was going down to take over. He's going against the world's greatest army of that time. Thousands of men, thousands of horses, thousands of chariots. It didn't matter. He said, by the tens of thousands, all he had was a crooked stick in his hand. But stop him if you can. He said, there is nothing that can stop him. And if you met that same pillar of fire, there's not a devil in hell that can stop you. Amen. I'd also like to speak as a sub, maybe a subtitle on an invincible army, because that's who we are. Amen. It's been prophesied to be so. This is who we are. It's in the Word. Amen. We might as well step into the vision, amen, that God saw of us. Listen, we're not going to go in crippling in. We're going to go in walking over every devil of hell. Hallelujah. He says, now, I mean, this is a familiar quote out of the church age books. Remember this, Christ and the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. We're not a different church, we're the same church, a continuation. So it's the same God with the same signs, the same wonders, the same everything, because He is the same. Amen. If you want to know how God feels about anything today, go look and see what He felt yesterday. If you want to know what He feels about your enemy this tonight, go look and see what He felt yesterday. He still feels the same way. Amen. He spoke to Saul there. He said, you go destroy every one of them. Don't even leave a little one. You know, many times we see these big Goliaths and we want to attack them, but these little demons, we carry them around and we allow them to stay. But God is saying, destroy them all. We're to be an invincible army, amen. But He says here, it exposes Satan, revealing his works and the attempted destruction of God's people. I love that. Attempted destruction. Amen, He's against us. How many's been in battles this week? He's against you. He's trying. I mean, He's a good adversary. But he will not succeed. He will not overcome. He will not take you down. This message was not a message to go down into death. This message was a message to leave this place. The attempted destruction of God's people and the discrediting of God's word. Right down the time He's cast into the lake of fire. He fights that. He cannot stand it. He knows that if the people get the true revelation of the true church and what she is and what she stands for, and that she can do the greater works, she will be an invincible army. I don't feel like one tonight. It don't matter anything about how you feel. Listen, if we felt like preaching, we may not ever preach. It ain't that about if you feel like going to church, you grab your body and you snatch him up and say, I'm going to church. Amen. It ain't nothing. This is nothing about how we feel. This is what the Word declared about us. Amen. That she can do the greater works. That she will be an invincible army. As they get the true revelation of the two spirits when the framework of the Christian church and by God's Spirit discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, Satan will be powerless. Powerless before Christ, before God, no, before her. He will be as a definitely thwarted or defeated today as and withstood against that, and that when Christ withstood his ever effort to gain power over him in the desert. Yes, Satan hates revelation, but we love it. With true revelation in our lives, the gates of hell cannot prevail. They will be against you, but they will not overcome you. But we will prevail over them. He goes on down. He says, I've already said the book of Revelation is a consummation of the scriptures. It's even placed exactly right in the canon of the scriptures at the end. He says, you know why it says that anyone who reads or even hears it is blessed. Amen. I'm blessed tonight. It's a revelation of God that will give you the authority over the devil. It's what gave the authority to Jesus when he understood who he was. Amen. And you can see why they who would add or take from it would be cursed. Now I know that we talk about being cursed. Their name shall be taken out of the book of life. And we realize the final curse or the final thing is to be thrown into hell and to lose. But he said when they begin to add or take away, they are cursed right then. He said, notice, he said, it would have to be so, for who can add or take away from the perfect revelation of God and overcome the enemy? Right now. That's exactly how we know the denominational system. What if a man went in there with man's creeds and man's ideas and just changed the word? Satan in the garden, the serpent in the garden changed the word. Amen. All these things just changing the word. Amen. And right there, when you change the word, it's not the word no more. It's your idea of what the word is. And right there is now you're standing upon your own laurels or what you can do or what you decree instead of what he's already done. Hallelujah. But he said, he goes on down. He said, when the church disbelieves Satan and believes the Spirit's revelation of the Word, the gates of hell cannot prevail against her. Amen. Nothing can stop the church. I read it again. Nothing can stop the church. You mean my depression tonight can't? No, your depression can't stop you if you're a child of God. You'll rise above that thing. You say, I don't have to be bound by that thing no more. In this service, I can be set free from it. Amen. I was just at a service there in North Carolina. His brother came up to me at the end of the service and said, you know what, Brother Timothy? He said, I was getting ready for church. He said, I couldn't even put my shoes on my feet. My legs would have been so swollen. He said, I didn't know what was going to happen, what was happening. I needed to go to the doctor, was trying to make an appointment, but I just struggled with everything to get my shoes on. I came to church and he said, as he was preaching, he said, I just said, yes, Lord, I'm healed. And he said, I immediately felt my shoes go slack. And he showed me his legs, and they was as perfect as anybody else's. Amen. He chose to believe the Word of God. Amen. I'm looking at a people who have chosen to believe the Word of God. I wasn't born here to believe Satan's lie. I was born here to believe God's Word. Nothing can stop the church. They may call you a fanatic. They may call you something for simply packing a Bible. They may say you're a holy roller. They may do whatever they do. Nothing's going to stand in God's church. She's moving towards Canaan. And he said, listen to this. He said, if you don't go, God's going to take them that will go. And Amen. There's already been a prophecy. There's already been a vision of a bride marching in step with onward Christian soldiers. So we know that she is here. We know that she is going. And she was going up. And if you don't want to go, God will find somebody who does. He'll bring them in from the highways and the byways. He'll do whatever He has to do to fulfill His word. But He will fulfill His word. There's nothing going to stop it. It's an unstoppable force. Maybe you didn't come to the house of God thinking you was an unstoppable force, but before you leave here, I hope you're ready to tear the doors off of hell. Brother Branham saw a vision of a boy killed in a car wreck over in Finland, I believe it was. And there he was. It was 2 years, I believe it was, before it actually happened. He told him, write it in the fly leaf of your Bible. And so he gets there and he walks up to the situation and at first he don't even realize what is going on. He don't even realize he has actually now walked into a vision. And he had seen some 2 years ago. And then all of a sudden he said he turned and he began to walk and he was just saying, Lord, be merciful. And he said all of a sudden he looked around and he saw some things that looked familiar. And he saw the hill country and the different things that he had seen. He said, this looks familiar. And he began to realize, wait a minute. I've seen this before. And then when he realized he had seen it, and he realized he was now in a vision, he said, no matter how dead he is, no matter what anybody else says, it's over with. He's got to come back. He said, the Holy Spirit told me that two years before. I said, if this child doesn't raise from the dead, then I'm a false prophet. I'm a misrepresentation of God. For in the homeland 2 years ago, He told me this would happen. And there's all these ministers that wrote in the flyleaf of the Bible. Here it is exactly right. Read it if you would. And lapping rocks, so forth, be killed on the right hand side of the road. And there it is. Nothing can stop it. The situation is already under control. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you tonight, God knows your needs. He knows your situation. He knows exactly what you're going through. And your situation is already under control. Hallelujah. You may be feeling like you're flipping over and over, but He is here to help you tonight. He is here to lift you up. I was in a situation a couple years ago with my oldest daughter, Adriana, just saying, we was at a park and I had been studying on that Saturday morning, supposed to preach Sunday night at home, had this thought on a God we could rely on and you just couldn't get things to come together and just been struggling. So I told my wife, I said, hey, the young people are out at the state park playing some frisbee golf. Let's go to the store and get some hamburger stuff and cooking some hamburgers. I said, because, you know, I just need to step away for a moment. Sometimes you got to do that. So I get out there and my other children went with us and they take them these little ripsticks. They're kind of like a scooter of some sort, but you use your body motion to make it go. It's designed for flat land. Well, this, believe it or not, we have hills in Louisiana. And so we're there and I'm flipping some hamburgers and the kids started coming in off playing their little frisbee golf and so it was kind of a surprise to them that we was there, and so we had dinner for them, and kids got to doing, you know, as kids do, and challenging each other, and I'm watching some things, and all of a sudden my oldest boy, Luke, and his friend come off the top of this hill from my left and down, just really fast down a hill, and if you made the curve, you was okay. You just kind of coast to a stop, but if you didn't make the curve, you'd go down through a parking lot, which was still downhill, and then run into pine trees, and steel poles and concrete. So I thought, my God, what are y'all doing? You know, and I was trying to yell stop and couldn't get nothing to come out of my mouth. And they made the curve and I thought, well, I started to go towards them and say, don't you dare do that again. And next thing I know, here comes my daughter. And I'm just like, she comes flying down the hill. And of course, she's going to do it faster than anybody else. She comes flying down. She can't make the curve, so she goes down through the parking lot. She hits the end of the pavement, and we measured later. She went about 35 feet or 40 feet through the air, tumbling through the dirt, landed and hit a steel pole with her head right here on the side. I ran to grab the van. Me and my wife drove down to where she was at, and And I rolled her little head over and her eyes was crossed. She was moaning, just had that rattle in her. And I thought, God, I said, I know you're here. I said, we're not out here doing nothing wrong. We're in your nature enjoying some time with friends and your people. I said, Lord, my daughter's in terrible shape. We just uncrossed her eyes. And church, I saw those eyes go. And she began to mumble some words, and I'm saying, Daddy's here, Daddy's here. I'm just trying to talk to her. She goes, Daddy, I can't see you. I laid my hands back on her. I said, God, I just saw you uncross eyes. If you can do that, you can give her back her sight. Now, I don't know if she was just so blurry from the hit or if she was blind. I don't know. She can't remember. But nevertheless, her next words was, Daddy, I see you now. Amen. And she began to, but she couldn't remember nothing of that day, of that week. She was in complete amnesia. Had to go all the way back to the year before, where we went to Florida down to Brother Danny Steeman, been again talked to her about going, you know, doing some things there. And she began to say, oh, I remember that, but what am I doing here? What's going on? What's happening? Why am I dirty? Why I'm hurting? My legs are, and I just, don't worry about that. Just remember Florida, you know, just trying to calm her down. What am I doing here? What's going on? How did I end up like this? We've been in those conditions before. So we called the ambulance, and another brother was there. Had phoned my dad, and he was studying for Sunday morning. And so he got off the phone. He just bowed his head and said, Lord, let there not be one broke bone. He didn't even know what the situation really as far as what was going on. And so the ambulance came in, and as the ambulance was pulling up, her memory began to come back. She began to remember, oh, I'm at the state park, always doing this, and all these things began to pop in her mind, you know. And so they take her to the hospital, and the wife jumps in the ambulance with her, and the kids jump in the van and the vehicles with the other believers there, and I take my van, and I go to meet my dad in the town, then going to the bigger hospital. And as I'm driving, of course, now I've done seen all these things take place, and I've seen the crossed eyes uncrossed. I've seen the sight be given back. I've seen memory be given back. I've seen a girl that I really didn't know. I mean, her head was all swollen out and scarred up and all these things. I didn't know what was going to happen. You know, I didn't know. It could have been just as easily death. I've been plenty of people die from those things. But now I can hardly drive. Tears are coming out of my face, and I'm just thanking God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I've seen a miracle working God. Now let me tell you, I didn't need no notes to preach on the God we could rely on. Amen. It was there. But I'm just praising the Lord, and I'm giving Him glory, and I'm giving Him honor. All of a sudden, I'd never had an experience like this before, but I hear my voice speak. And it said, as what you have seen in the natural, you will also see in the supernatural. Whoa, what was that? And I just sat there in stunned silence, and I began to think about what I was seeing in the natural. I'd seen a little girl that was heading down the wrong path. And I've seen her going down a horrible situation and go tumbling head over heels and land in a bunch of dirt. And they just burnt off the straw there. And so she's black with ashes and scarred up and in a bad, horrible situation and couldn't remember who she was and all these things. And I said, oh God, you fixing to get ready to save somebody. Amen. So I begin to think of a spiritual amnesia as I'm driving. I'm thinking of spiritual amnesia and Brother Branham preaching on those things. And I begin to think of the story he told of Billy Paul when he was sleeping around. I believe he was smoking and doing something wrong. And the prophet of God told him, you need to quit that. And he gets sick and he's going into death. And Brother Branham sees him in a vision go crashing out a window and head over heels. And he said, God, be merciful to my son. Be merciful. He said, all of a sudden he's seen these two arms grab him and bear him back up. I've seen those two arms that day come down along that little beach there at that lake and reach and grab my daughter and turn her from a bad situation to heal. I've seen it happen, church. Amen. She went to the hospital and they done MRIs, they done CAT scans, and there wasn't one broke bone. Hallelujah. And here she was. They wanted to hold her overnight for observation since she'd been witnessed being knocked out. And so she was released the next day. And I get up on the Sunday. I went and picked her up between services. And I get up Sunday night and preaching on a God we can rely on. And I tell them what had happened. I said, I don't know what God's fixing to do, but you might as well get ready for it, because somebody's fixing to come back to God. The next Wednesday night, I begin to preach on identity crisis and taking that thought of what I just spoke about. And here this brother who hadn't been in the house of God in about 7 years, amen, shows up that night. He tells his family right before they leave, y'all wait, I'll go with you. And they're like, sure, we'll wait on you, you know. So he comes to the house of God and he's sitting there and he said, man, Satan began to anoint him with every kind of critical spirit and just pouring it upon him. And he ain't getting nothing out of the service. And he's like, I've done heard all, he's been raised in the message. He said, I done heard all these things. They ain't got nothing else to preach. And it's just Timothy preaching. And what did I even come for? And I've heard all this stuff. And he said, all of a sudden I get to the part where Brother Branham talking about that French soldier that got off that train. And he got off that train and he said, Brother Branham said, he began to look up at a water tower. Something familiar again. And his memory began to come back. And he began to go down this little old trail to come to this little house. And there's a father sitting on the porch. And he sees his son. He said, my son's come home again. Hallelujah. This man said, you know, people didn't realize, but I've been going out on my porch. And I've been looking up in a water tower across my street, thinking on my ways. And I knew I needed to get my life right with God. And he came and gave his heart to God that night. I believe he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Maybe you tonight are flipping end over end and you've landed in a pile of dirt and you're dirty and scarred up. There's a God who is rich in mercy with two big arms that can bear you right back up. You know, within about 3 days, every scar was gone off that little girl's face. Completely healed in 3 days. Gone! That's the kind of work this God does. Amen. He knows exactly how to reach down to where you're at. He knows exactly where you're living at. He knows exactly what kind of trouble, what kind of dirt you're laying in. He knows exactly what's going on in your life. But he's rich in mercy tonight. And he's able through any situation. Brother Branham said, all the devils out of hell and all his forces cannot stop it when God's word is ready to become the path. Listen, if tonight is your time, there ain't a devil in hell that can stop it. He can try to put doubt. He can try to put fear. But you can be like that little grass seed that maybe been buried under some concrete. But the presence of the sun begins to go over. It begins to pull something out of your life. You begin to move up and move up. And that little seed will crack concrete. I've seen it happen. Amen. I believe there's seeds here tonight all over this place that cracked hell. Amen. God tried to put, our devil tried to put drugs and alcohol and every kind of sin and pile it 6 foot deep. It didn't matter how much he piled it. If that was a seed, it had to come to life. This is what this message produced. I still believe what I've seen in the natural, I still see in the supernatural. Brother Branham's in India. He said, I was entertained one afternoon when I went to Bombay. By the grace of God, I preached to the largest audience. He said, there was about 17 different religions and every one of them denied Jesus Christ. He said, about 8 or 10 of them got to speak, but everyone was telling how little Christianity was and how bad it was and how marked it was. And he said, I felt like I'd been a traitor to Christ if I'd have held my peace. So I didn't hold my peace. Amen. So when they were talking there, and there stood the Rahabs, or set the Rahabs on their pillows, and sacred men and the holy men, different kinds. And when the Holy Spirit began to move, and I seen a blind man standing there. Said, you've been blind practically all your life because you're a worshiper of the sun. You watched the sun and your eyes have went out. See, they think they'll go to heaven, but that's their penalty they have to pay. They talk about legalism. So they have to pay the price for watching the sun until they go blind. Told him he was a beggar. And listen to the details. Told him he was a beggar. Told him he had a wife. Told him he had children. Told him one of them was 9. The other one was 11. And all of that was true. His name, I couldn't even speak it. And I had to spell it out. And it was just exactly right the way the Holy Spirit gave it. Now, I've been overseas. Ain't too many of them named Bob or Matt or Bill. I mean, they got names about that long. And here the prophet of God went down through every letter exactly right. Amen. God has vindicated this message. Over and over and over and over and over. It'd be a sin to disbelieve. And behind the message, brother, sister, God would come behind it and He would say, amen. Listen, you can read in Revelation 3 to our church age. He said, I'm the faithful and true witness, the amen of God. He is a true witness. This God cannot back up a lie. He never has and He never will. But behind every service, you can hear time after time after time, God would come behind and say, amen. 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 God was vindicating the word. I am speaking to the church of God. I've got something to say. This was God speaking a message for an exodus. Don't you think if this was the message for staying here, He would have told us how to survive? He'd have told us exactly how much corn to plant, how many of this, where to... He did to Noah. Told him exactly how to build a boat to withstand the judgment. Amen. He said, man, standing there blind, all his eyes were white as my shirt. And I looked back, and of course that's all true, and that man's a witness. But I said, there's nothing I could do to help him, only pray. But then I turned and looked again, and I seen him standing like a shadow above where he was standing there in a vision. And he was looking around and laughing with his hands up. Hallelujah. Listen, when the presence of God hits you, you can't help it. It produces a change in your life. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was bound, but now I'm free. Why do you shout? Why do you do the things you do, Brother Timothy? Because I'm free. God has done something in my life. He says, oh my, that vision happened. Nothing going to stop it then. The devils couldn't put enough demons out of hell to stop it. God's already showed it. As thus saith the Lord, there's nothing, nothing, nothing can stop it.
Amen. Yes, sir.
He said, but here, he goes on down. He said, it's got to come to an end. All these things are shaking. It's shaking around us. Shoot, I mean, it's the world's shaking. The politics is shaking. Everything's shaking. Amen. These ain't the time to get all worried and fretting about things. It's time to look up. Our redemption draw is nigh. Amen. He said, all these things that's against that word or contrary, will have to move. It'll have to give place because the word is coming triumphantly. There's nothing going to stop it. God has done said so. And when He speaks it, heavens and earth will pass away, but His word will never fail. Hide that word in your heart and how to take that word and let it grow. Keep it in your mind always because it never will fail. He said, I'm the Lord God that heals all thy diseases. Ain't it amazing? He put high blood pressure. He put big old words like that in a three letter word. All. So simple. But He said, I'll heal all of them. You can name every devil you want to name, but let me just give you one word. I'll heal all of them. That's why we can stand on the word of God. By His stripes, I am healed. Ooh, God's word's infallible. What He said will take place, will take place. And there ain't no pope, there ain't a president, there ain't nothing that can stop it. So quit worrying about who's the next president. Ain't gonna matter no how. This is all coming to a predicted end.
Listen, God is not getting here and Laodicea and thinking, oh my goodness. Angel, please bring me some tea. I did not realize it was going to be like this. This is horrible. I don't know if I have one survive this. He's not going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb and saying, you know what? Better take that plate. He ain't going to make it. Neither is he going to say, hey, bring another plate. He made it. I didn't know he was going to make it. He knows exactly who will be there. He knows exactly who will be there. And he knows exactly what it takes to overcome this age. And he has placed it inside of your life. Amen. We look at Isaiah 14, if you would, verse 12. Very familiar scripture said, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down from the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be, you know, it's all these eyes. Selfies, yeah, there you go. That's exactly right he's doing. Look what I'm going to do. Click. Amen. Look what I'm going to do. Click. Amen. Let me post that on Facebook. But then God speaks and he says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. You want to take whatever kind of picture you want, but let me give you my picture. They that see thee shall look narrowly upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth tremble and did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof? Is this the one who kept me from going to church? Is this the one who kept me out of the rapture? You're talking about wailing and gnashing of teeth. All the kings of the nation, verse 18, even all of them lie in glory, everyone in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as a remnant of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword that goes down the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet.
Amen.
Under whose feet? It's shown in Revelation 10. Mighty angel came down. He put one foot upon the Lamb, one upon the sea. It showed that his body is on earth. His head was in heaven. But his body was on earth. His body is on earth. And the same power runs from the head all the way through the body. Or it's not a body built by God. Listen, you don't ever get a head of a cat and the body of a dog and the feet of a lion. No, if it's a true body of God that he created, it's the same all the way through. Amen. And this body is the same all the way through. From Alpha to Omega, from the head all the way to the feet. It's got the same power. He said, well, I'm nothing, Brother Timothy. I feel like just about like that. You mean you feel like the skin on the bottom of his feet? Okay, you can be the skin if that's where you want to be. But when that foot goes down, every devil is under you. And as scripture said, his body shall be a carcass trodden under feet. I was not put here on this earth to be overcome. I was put here to overcome. I was put here to defeat devils. I was put here to destroy and to seal up and to close the mouth of the enemy. And thou shalt not be joined with them in burial. Because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people, and the seeds of evildoers shall never be renowned. Prepare slaughter for his children for the iniquities of their fathers, for they do not rise nor possess the land, nor fill the face of the world with cities. For I will rise up against them, saith the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and the remnant of son and nephew, saith the Lord. I will also make it a possession for the bitter and pools of water. I will sweep it with the bosom of destruction, saith the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. I had a prophet tell me I was put here for a purpose. He said, God don't do nothing without a purpose. He placed us here for a purpose. And what He has purposed shall stand. I wasn't put here to fall. I was put here to stand. I was put here to rise, rise, rise above it all. He said, I will break the Assyrian in my land. I will upon my mountain tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart off of them and his burden depart from off their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. This is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts has purpose, and who shall disannul it? Amen. Who shall say it ain't so? Amen. And his hand is stretched out, and who in the world is going to turn it back? But he's building a church, building upon a revelation of who Christ is. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church. I don't care how many persecutions, how many lines they draw, how many cut you out, I'll build my church. And the gates, it don't matter how many leave. If you don't go, God will find somebody who will. Shows that all the gates of hell will be against it, but will not prevail. He said, I'll build my church, and what he has purposed, who's going to disannul it? Who's going to say it ain't so? The Holy Spirit moving, working, the resurrected Christ moving among his people. Who can stop it? You never will be able to do it. It's going to go right on and right on and right on. It'll rise all the critics you want to. It'll strengthen the church every time you do it. It's going to move right on. Hallelujah. Amen. The devil thought he was going to do a big thing when he tried to rise critics. And then ain't it something that he waited till a lot of the eyewitnesses have died off? No shock to me. I mean, you know, he's trying to bring this purpose and this plan of his thing. You know, what I'm going to do, click, click. What I'm going to do. And so he waits till all this happens, and then all of a sudden we got these people telling what they think happened, and they never was even there. I mean, I don't know about whose story you would believe, but if I was, you know, come up to a car wreck and I was a police officer and there's one guy standing there and he saw it. He saw the exactly this blue truck pulled out in front of his red car and smash, and this happened. And there's another guy standing there and he said, well, I wasn't even here, but this is what I think. So why are we going to take somebody's thought? Or their thinking, or their interjection, or their dogma, their belief of what they think happened, and they wasn't even there. But I can tell you quote after quote, with Brother Branham asking, saying that I've seen vision after vision, and has anyone ever failed? And not one person in a live audience say, yeah, over here, you know, you said this and it. Not one. They were there. So shut up, devil. I ain't listening to you anyway. I've heard a vindicated voice from another realm. I've heard an eagle scream to me. Listen, I ain't about arguing dates and arguing this and happening that. That don't matter to me anyhow. I know exactly what this message has done for me. I know I met the same pillar of fire that Moses met. I know I met the same angel that came into the room where Brother Branham was. I know I met the same one. And this is a problem. They wasn't there. Listen, you couldn't talk Moses out of it. He was there. Well, Moses, you know what? You don't understand. Whatever. I mean, a bush that didn't burn. Whatever. You couldn't talk him out of it? Neither could you talk the 120 out of what happened in the upper room. they'd experienced it. Amen. Oh, you know, they come up with all their wisecracks. And you know what, Moses, look, you think something's really going on here? I mean, the water turned to blood, big deal. Up there in the mountains, we come to find out by scientific proven that the red mud that's up there in the northern shore, up there fell into the water and it caused it to turn red, big deal. And then when it turned red, the frogs jumped out. And when the frogs jumped out, they died. And then the flies came. But Moses had been there. He had witnessed the resurrection, witnessed that pillar of fire. He had witnessed God speaking to him, lip and ear, and saying, go, let tell Pharaoh, let my people go. I've heard the same message. Amen. The message of the highway that says, let my people go. You don't have to be bound by that. You don't have to walk out the same. You don't have to live with those devils who the Son has set free is free indeed. Amen. There's this man who's a Navy SEAL. Actually made a movie. I ain't watched the movie. Don't care to watch the movie, but it's called The Lone Survivor. And he actually was sent by a team of four. They sent a team of four Navy SEALs into Afghanistan to look for this man. This insurgent, high-ranking guy. So they sent him in there in a covert operation, secrecy at night, dropped him off in the middle of nowhere. So they having to travel by night, and then during the day they would hide, not give their position away, and then they'd move again by night. And so here they came, and they finally, morning was breaking, so they found them a place to hide. Man said that while they was there, they was hidden with their guns and everything, and said all of a sudden they began to hear sheep. And said they began to look up, and he said he looked up, and here's this sheep come over this log, jumped over, and about 100 or so jumped with their herders, their shepherds. So now they're faced with a situation. Do we kill them or let them go? Because they knew if they let them go, it was a possibility of them giving up their position. And so they actually began to talk about it and decided they was going to face too much red tape if they killed them. So they let them go. And it was one of the greatest days in the long time of American disaster. Of a one day, I think they had like 19 or so trained men get killed, Navy SEAL men. But before they knew it, they were surrounded by about 100 men, and they was getting blowed off the side of this mountain. They actually began to just jump for their lives, and they'd jump and they'd fall and they'd go down. They'd come to a rest and just come up with their guns, shooting and. And said, finally, three of the men that was with him died, and he had found himself, and he pulled himself under this rock. And he gets under this rock, and he's kind of passes out. He's got a broken hip, he's got a broken leg, he's got a broken foot, got a broken back, lacerated from head to toe from his fall down the mountain, in terrible shape. So he kind of passes out, and when he comes to, he's kind of thinking about where he's at and the situation he's in, and he cracks an eye open. He says, I'm still alive. And the mission's still on. He could have grabbed him a rock. He could have just laid there and maybe shot himself and just went on out. But he opened up his eyes and he said, I'm still alive. The mission is still on. And he said, I'm going to grab me a rock. And I'm going to draw a line. And when I draw that line, I'm going to grab myself and I'm going to pull myself to the other side. And if I'm alive when I get on the other side of that line, I'm going to draw another line. And I'm going to keep doing it. He did that for 7 miles. 7 miles to where he was actually found by a friendly guy. And they took him into their village, and they observed some kind of law there. They took him in, they protected him with their own lives, and they actually protected him from the Taliban and got word to the U.S. and they sent a big operation in there and got him, and he's now known as the Lone Survivor. But he asked me, he said, you asked me why I didn't quit. Why I didn't give up. Why I didn't just lay under that rock and die? He said, I could have. I could have just laid there, pulled the trigger, and I'd been gone. He said, but I am a Navy SEAL. And he said, a Navy SEAL is not what I do. A Navy SEAL is who I am. That's it. He said, you can quit what you do, but you can't quit who you are. Hallelujah. Amen. You ask me, why ain't you quit yet? Why ain't you give up? All the guns of hell are against you. I cannot quit. Because this message is not what I do. This message is who I am. Amen. I'm looking at a bunch of other people. This message is not what you do. Church is not what you do. Living this life is not just what you do. It's who you are. Amen. Can you say that tonight? It's who I am. And this message has come to get you out of here. Hallelujah. To tell you, you weren't born for hell. You weren't born to go that way. But you was born for the sky. Amen. It's time some of you get a rock of promise and you draw a line. Amen. Maybe you ain't got enough strength or just a burden. But I'm coming out from under my rock. I'm coming out from under my hiding place. I've been hiding. That devil been hounding me and I kind of got a little. But tonight I'm realizing who I am. Hallelujah. Amen. We was talking about, I can read you. I'll just take a couple of them. We're closing. Take a couple of them like this. Brother Branham's asked many different times. He says, when we which are alive and remain, the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the trumpet shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise. We'll be changed in a moment. In a twinkling of an eye, be caught up together to meet the Lord forever and forever with the Lord. That great Son that's coming. See Him getting His church ready. Ooh, is this not what's been happening service after service? Listen, it's been happening. You know, the devil thought he was going to do a big deal when he dropped the bomb and, you know, he thought it was his last attack or whatever. Dropped this bomb and he thought, you know what, I'm going to cause all this discouragement. This is going to fall off. That one's going to fall off. And this, my brother, Brother Donnie, it seems like everyone that falls off, God raises about 10 more. And you see what's happening. We're at harvest time. And I've never seen it any time in my whole life as the gathering of the wheat together and the gathering of the tares together. And, you know, it's, you know, people that leave the church, they don't even know, they haven't even met nobody, but somehow through Facebook they become friends and they're gathered together. One's being gathered to burn, one's being gathered to go in a rapture. Amen. That's a scripture. That's not me. If you don't like it, blame it on Jesus. He said it. Amen. But here we go. He says, see, what's He doing? He's showing them His last sign. And the next thing is what? The rapture. The rapture. The Son appears and we're changed. And we go to meet Him in the air. Goes on again, he says, Jesus Himself said, the Son of God, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be at the coming. Brother Timothy, it's so bad, do you see what's going on? It's supposed to be. We say, what's the next thing we're looking for? The rapture. Some people are putting up guns and some people are putting up other things, but that ain't what my focus is on. I was just here the other weekend talking to some people, hopefully they'll be there at Brother Ron's this weekend, some kinfolks of my wife's, and they was beginning to talk about all the things. People know something's about to happen, and it is something about to happen. And so they said, one said, I only listen to the libertarians, which is a bunch of conspiracy theories, and, you know, and all that. I only listen to this one. I believe they got the truth. And I looked at them, well, they looked at me, and he said, what do you think about it? I said, I know there is a tribulation that's coming. Things are being put in place right now. You're seeing the glimpses of it and the things that's being moved. But there's a bride here on this earth. And she's holding it all back. I said, but before the tribulation hits, there's a rapture that takes place. And I said, and you can listen to whatever voice you want to listen to. There's a lot of voices. I'd say there's somewhere around 40,000 different denominations. Which one's true? Every one of them believes they're true. Which one has God vindicated?
I said, those voices you're listening to, how do you know they're even telling you the truth? I said, but I've heard a voice. Amen. They come from another dimension, and God backed it up time after time after time after time, and God vindicated that this is the truth. We don't need no more. We've seen enough. Amen. God, listen, if I never see God moving again, but I believe I will. But if I don't, it don't matter to me. I have seen enough to know this is the truth. I've seen enough to know I'm resting my soul upon this. And what a place to rest. He's asked a question directly, and the question and answer, I believe, is in 64. Asked Brother Branham, will the bride go through the tribulation? He said, no! The next thing is a rapture! Amen. Well, Brother Timothy, what about the squeeze? I'm being squeezed. I don't know where you've been. I've been squeezed. At your job, at your work, at your school, or at everyday life, you go to the grocery store and every demon of hell is coming against you. You don't feel it? It's pressure. Listen, there was a pressure in that Exodus. Amen. As everything began to get nervous and upset as a death angel was riding through the land. Amen. And there's a death angel riding today, but there's also a blood that's been applied. Amen. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. A message for an Exodus. Hope you don't mind if I play you just a little something as we close.
Which is that old fellow here held up his hand a while ago? He wanted to be saved. Right here in a wheelchair. You believe God knows you, brother? I don't know you. Got a prayer card? You don't? All right. You believe God can tell me what's your trouble? If he would you believe he wants to heal you? You're shattered for death. It's cancer in the lung. But you believe that God will make you well? You do? Then if I was in your place, you know what I'd do? There's some lepers set at a gate one time. And they said, why sit we here till we die? Let's get up and do something about it. If we sit here, we'll die. If we go in the city, they're dying in there, so we haven't got no choice. If we go down to the camp, well, they might spare us. You're going to die in that condition, sitting in that wheelchair. Jesus Christ is your only hope now. That's right. So why don't you rise up from there and take your chair and go home and be well in the name of Jesus Christ. Do you believe every one of you? Then stand to your feet. I don't care what's wrong with you. Stand up on your feet and believe God. All that wants to receive Christ at this time, raise up on your feet anywhere you want to. Raise up your hands now and praise to God. Raise up your hand. Believe him. Here comes a man up out of a wheelchair. Let's say praise the Lord. Everybody stand up regardless of your faith. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We condemn every spirit of devil and doubt. May they walk by the unseen tonight. Grant it, Lord. Through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we ask it. Praise him with all your heart. Get up out of your chairs everywhere. Be well and healed in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you, brother. Step out of there and go on home. Make you well. You'd raise your hands a while ago. Please, that God, to hear my prayer for the salvation of your soul. Come walking down here now as we sing, I will praise him, I will praise him. Come on, walk right down the aisles here now. Right down to receive Jesus. Keep your hands up. Keep looking at the unseen. That little pulsation in your heart. Come moving right on down. Is he pulsating to you? I'm the Lord that raised up Christ from the grave. I'm the one that sent the Holy Ghost. I'm the one that gave the promise. Brother Branham has nothing to do in this. He surrendered his life to me. I'm using his spirit. I'm talking through his lips. That's me. I'm the Lord. Come down.
Hallelujah. This message was not about a man, but it was God speaking through a man to a generation. Amen. If I was you tonight, if you had a need, I'd just stand up and say, God, I accept it right now. I accept the Holy Spirit in my life. I accept healing right now. I accept joy right now. I accept deliverance right now. I'm not leaving out here the same place. And
and the same way, but who the Son has set free. Amen. This is a year of Jubilee. You can go free tonight. Hallelujah. Young people, you can go free tonight. You don't have to go and be bound by those same demons of pornography and those same demons of hell. I say tonight, as the prophet of God said, house of hell, give way to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. House of hell, give way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How can we hold our peace when we have seen the great things that God has done among us? It ought to rise a charge within our hearts. There ain't no devil gonna stop me. There ain't no, if the devil could have stopped you, he'd have stopped you a long time ago. But he can't stop you. Amen. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. But greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. House of hell, give way. We cannot be the stop. We are an invincible army in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's just praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just magnify Him for all that He has done. For He has done great things. Oh, we love You, Father. We praise You, O God. There's none like You, O God. Oh, there's no one like Jehovah. There's no one like Jehovah. There's no one like Jehovah. He's our God. An unstoppable force. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If I was you, I'd just grab that sword of faith right now. And I'd just begin to claim every promise of God. I'd just begin to claim it right now. It is mine. My children are mine. You say your children? Yes, sir, my children. For the promise is unto me and my children and to them that are far off. As many as the Lord our God shall call. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, just worship Him in His presence. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful we're not resting upon the man, but this is the voice of God speaking. The voice behind the voice. Oh, Jesus, we love You. Jesus, we love You. We praise You. Oh, we praise You, O God. Thank You, Lord, that I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. Oh, but I've been to the water and I've been baptized. I've been changed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, I once was red like crimson, but now I've been made white as snow. How we praise You, O God. Thank You that during this time, Lord, this time when it seems like maybe You've forgotten about our situation, but You're a God that never forgets. You know exactly our trouble. You know exactly our problem. You know exactly our temptation. And You're with us, even in us, to the end of the world. Jesus, we love You. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We love You, Father. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank You, Lord Jesus. Let's worship Him now, saints. Hallelujah. Whatever you have need of, He's here. He's here right now in our midst, passing by this way. Glory be to God. We worship You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord God, may You come by this way. Bring faith, bring healing, bring courage, bring deliverance, bring peace. Grant it, Lord God. Hallelujah. We believe You're that same one, Lord, that used Your prophet. You're that same one that used our brother tonight, not in a prophetic way, but in a different gift, but the same Holy Ghost. The same living God to come by and speak to us, Lord. It's You, Lord, that we recognize. It's Your presence, Lord. Hallelujah. It's You that we honor. It's You, Lord God, that we magnify. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Sing it for us. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Come on, let's sing it now.
Blessed be the name of the Lord, the Most High.
Sing it, children.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
A strong tower, the righteous run into. They are saved. The Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run into. They are saved. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Sing it now. Blessed be the name. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh,
my God is Jesus.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Blessed be.
Guess what? They are safe. Praise God.
A strong tower, the righteous run into.
Oh, they are safe. Blessed be.
Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Bless His holy name. Name of the Lord, the Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Be the name of the Lord, the Most High. Sing, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, the Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Jesus is the name. We're singing. Jesus is the name of the Lord. King Jesus is the name of our Lord. King Jesus is the name of our Lord. The Lord
is our God. Jesus.
is the name of our Lord, the Most High.
Oh, praise His name. Let's go ahead and give Him a hand. He's worthy. Oh, bless His holy name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's sing this before we go.
If you can't help me, please don't stop me. Move out of my way. Don't try to block me. Race to run. And I'm running by faith. At the finishing line.
I'm on the seat, God.
Let's sing it now.
Can't help me. Please don't stop.
Please don't stop.
Move out of my way. Don't try to block me. I got a race to run. And I'm running my way. At the finish line, I want to see God's way.
Jesus, a long time, running both day and night. Don't have time
for idle talk.
My cause me to lose this race. If you can't help, please don't stop me.
All right,
move out of my way. Don't try to block me. Got a race to run.
Well, if you can't help me, please don't stop me.
All right.
Don't you try to block me. I got a race to run. At the finish line, I'm gonna see His face.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Every army that ever stood on the face of the earth, except for God's army, has always been defeated. It made no difference whether it was the Romans, the Gauls, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, whoever they were. They all suffered defeat. But the army of the living God has never and will never be defeated. People come and go, the church stays on. Doctrines come and go, and the church stays on. Ages come and go, and the church stays on. Why? She cannot fail. She is Him, and He don't fail. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you glad you're on the winning side? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You enjoy the word today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So encouraging how we appreciate the word of God tonight. Amen. Let's come back Saturday night. Be a black helicopter. Be landing in here and be preaching for us. He'll be flying out after service and he's landing down at Brother Richard Wilson's on Sunday morning and probably Sunday night. Be speaking down there with them folks. So we're going to enjoy him one service when he'll be here with us. So let's everybody come back expecting the Lord to speak to us again. Don't you love Him? Don't you just love Jesus with all your heart? Don't it make you love one another?
Don't it make you love those that hate you? Don't it make you love your enemies? All right. God bless you. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we love you so much tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for these encouraging things that you placed on our brother's heart. You're always so mindful of us, Lord Jesus. We thank you in an hour of great struggle and great troubles that are going on. Lord, we need things like this, as you will anoint men to bring it to us, to bring us strength and encouragement, so we wouldn't be discouraged, because there's so many things that are going on around the world, and it lets us know that you are mindful of us, Lord Jesus. May you go with us now, Father. May we ruminate as sheep do over these words, and may it be a blessing to us, Lord, in days to come also, in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Jason Watkins sent me a little video clip the other day, and I thought it was so neat. And there was these people that had stopped. I'm not sure if it was believers or exactly where it had originated at. But it was some different people, and there was a bunch of sheep out in the field, and the sheep are there eating. Up walks a little boy, and the little boy starts saying certain things and trying to holler at the sheep. Sheep never even raise up. Then another little girl comes through, and she's screaming and hollering and saying things. The sheep never even raise their head. Another person comes through, never even moves them. Then the shepherd comes through. And the shepherd stands up there and he starts speaking to him. And as soon as he starts talking, them sheep raise their heads up and they look over at him and they start talking back. Oh my goodness. I mean, it was so moving. Because the shepherd is saying, and then the sheep, baa, baa, baa. And then all of a sudden they take off running. And they run right to where he is. And then he gets down among them and they just totally surround them. I thought, oh God, let us sheep hear your voice. Let sheep hear the voice of God. May we ignore a bunch of nonsense and a bunch of other stuff. Sheep of God, hear the voice of God. Hallelujah. God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God. I love you so much. It ain't going to be long. Our battles is going to be over. Our struggles and all the things we've been through. Then we're going to walk in. Praise God. He's going to be looking for them battle-scarred veterans to climb up in the chariot with him. I want to ride with him, don't you? God bless you. Go in the fear of God. Sing it.
You can't help me. Please don't stop me. Move out of my way. Don't try to block me. Got a race to run. And I'm running by faith at the finishing line. I see God's face. You can't help me. Please don't stop me. Move out of my way. Don't try to block me. Got a race to run. And I'm running by faith at the finishing line. I see God's face. I've been running for Jesus a long time. Running both night and day. I don't have time for idle talk. My cause me to lose this race. If you can't help me, please don't stop me. Move out of my way. Don't try to block me. I got a race to run.